Might be.
Sorry, my bad.
Okay.
Hit the damn record. See, we're recording something. Yeah. Hey, friend.
See, you got it going back to Janet again.
Hey. Mm. Welcome to the Unlikely Friends podcast,
where two friends living abroad talk about
life,
love,
and loss,
and everything in between.
Everything in between. Thank you so much for listening to us. We would so appreciate across the linear platforms if you would like to give us a lovely rating. That means the algorithm gods will know exactly what to do with you and your direction on the internet.
And if you are watching us on YouTube, make sure you give us a like, share, and hit the notification bell so that you know when we post a new video. So ding, 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 ding.
Isn't there a song about bells? Like,
beep, beep. You can ring my bell. Ring my bell. My bell. Ding, dong, ding. Yeah.
You can ring my bell. Hey.
Ring my bell.
How are you doing, friend?
I'm doing fine, friend. How you doing, friend?
God, I'm okay, man. Ugh. Two things.
I know
number
it's hot
one,
in here. That's a god.
Yeah. Number one, it's been beefy hot, you know, the last couple of weeks. But it's autumn season. It's like spooky season. I'm fully in it, and I just finished my first week of work with preschoolers, and I feel like I hit a wall.
Oh, already? Oh, actually, I don't start until next week.
Well, you know, buckle up, because starting to work again is a challenge.
Yeah. Well, it's a little bit more difficult for you, I think, because you're working with children. I work with young adults, so
yeah,
they're little peanuts.
They're little peanuts, but it's okay. Yeah. We're doing all right. We're living. We're doing everything. We're in spooky season. I just watched a film that you told me about. And you suggested that I watch, and I watched it this morning, and I can't believe I watched a spooky film in the morning, but I did. The Deliverance.
Yes. I remember my sister had made a post about it on Facebook that she was going to watch it. And then I saw another person post about it. and I said, what is this film about? Because I had never heard of it before. So then me, like I am, I open up the Google websites and I immediately look for what the synopsis was. And then I said to myself, paranormal film. Okay. So then I watched a film and I was like, wait a minute.
This is different. I mean, there are things that are really similar, and I like some of the cinematography shout outs to a lot of the
cinematography was superb.
Like the shout outs to like different horror films in the past. Like that one scene with the mist and the lamppost, I was like, ooh, that screams Exorcist. Like it was so beautifully done. Like it was a really pretty film to watch. I mean, albeit
And that's what made me watch the film, actually. But I do have some problems with the film, though.
Yeah. So you told me about it during the week, and you were like, you have to watch this because we have to talk about it. And I did. And there are definitely some problems that I can see and some conversations that can be started about some issues that are in the film. Of course, it's a film. It's fictional. Is it fictional? We don't know because it's based on true stories,
they said, yeah.
Fictional movie sprinkled in. But yeah, so like, anyway, so what's your beef with it? I want to hear, what's the beef?
My beef is that in the original story, the mother was not white. And for the sake of this film,
they made the mother white. Okay.
Yeah. They made the mother white. Glenn Close's role.
Glenn Close. Which, by the way, I know. Everybody just needs to bow down for a minute. She's always been fabulous, and I've always loved her.
Gets flowers. Anyway.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
She did a superb job. I'm not bashing Glenn Close's performance. I'm bashing the premise of the story. What do I mean by the premise of the story? Is that it was... What made me angry the most was the doctor scene.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
How the doctor refused to speak to the mother and would only speak to the white woman.
The mom,
she didn't want to acknowledge the black woman. And she didn't want to acknowledge her grievances, what her problem was, what she didn't understand, and that she had to literally beg the woman to listen to her to do something. She was pleading with her, but the doctor was not having it. And she would only look at the white mother as to say, I can't speak to her. I can only speak to you because we are the same. And then it was the portrayal of the proverbial angry black woman. And it just made me so mad. It's like, why do they always have to put black women in that role of being angry all the time? Black women are not angry. And if, let me tell you something. If a black woman is angry, she's angry for a reason. She's not angry because she can be. She's angry for a reason. But I just didn't like that portrayal. Even though it was a black film, it was black directed. The whole cast is black except for Glenn Close. She was probably the only white thing up in there. But
I know. I was actually surprised because I looked. I mean, before we talked, I looked to see who was the director because I don't really know. I mean, I didn't know.
Yeah.
I'm not. Yeah, I'm not familiar with him.
Sorry.
But I Googled his. I Googled his name, and I was surprised to see him as a director because let's be honest, there are not a lot of people of color in film that are directing, writing. Like, unfortunately, it is a small percentage, and I was surprised. And equally, I don't know. I was impressed by the film itself, but I didn't know who he was.
I was really impressed by the film. I have nothing against the director. I have nothing. It was just how they portrayed black women. Also, what bothered me a little bit.
Do you think that was part of? Do you think it was part of like what they would like to portray as a commentary? Like this is like. Can you see how difficult it is now that you are actually seeing on film? You know, it's a like a topic of discussion, something that people don't maybe they don't realize it happens or that it happens as often as it does. What's the point of it? Like to show?
I'm going to tell you something that's going to blow your hair back.
Yeah.
I don't know the percentage, so I don't want to give a percentage. I don't want to lie.
I do.
Do you now? Because there is a high, very high percentage of black women or black people not getting treated or not being taken seriously in comparison to their white counterparts. And that's where a lot of our frustration comes from.
Not surprised by that. Like, I it's the first time I've ever heard it, but sadly, I'm not terribly surprised because people are awful.
Well, in the municipalities, you know, black people are not taken seriously by doctors, by nurses, you know.
Yeah.
So, anyway, what's your today years old story?
My today years old story is basically that this film really kind of led me to go down a rabbit hole of information about the, you know, the story that I was based on. And then I started thinking, because I got angry at that doctor scene as well. And I thought, this has to be a commentary on what is going on in the world, because most definitely I know that that happens, but I didn't know the percentage of it. And I, you know, so I looked it up and I did see on, it's a Johns Hopkins School of Medicine, a doctor, or sorry, he's a professor. He did a analysis, I guess, and it's people of color and women are 20 to 30% more likely than white men to be misdiagnosed in a hospital setting. And that's just very, very broad. 11% of people in general are misdiagnosed
because of
whatever reasons. I mean, it happens. Doctors make mistakes too. But this 20 to 30% rate, that means that one in four patients are more likely to die or to go to the ICU because of their misdiagnosis.
Wow.
Which is crazy. Several different reasons. I was just reading about it this morning, and I found an article from the National Library of Medicine, and in particular, breast cancer is in because of insurance and detection and tumor size and those kinds of things, but it's usually a more than 2 month delay for diagnosis just in breast cancer alone. So I don't even know about the rest, but that's from a recent article.
That sounds a long time. By the second month rolls around, it's like, oh, too late.
Yeah. I mean, you don't know these things. I mean, things can happen quickly, you know? So that part in the movie definitely got to me, because I thought, I have to know more about this and I need to know like the numbers and how often it happens, because I'm sure it happens every single day. Like,
yeah, that's what made me so angry with that film. And it wasn't, like I said, it's not the director, it's not the actors, it was the social construct that made me so angry. It's like, because Black women scream and yell to be heard, only to be ignored. And I was just like, it just made me so angry. It really did. Well, they're spreading rumors now that, you know, Haitians are eating cats and dogs. But I mean, seriously, your only argument is that Haitian immigrants are coming to the United States and they're eating cats and dogs?
I can't even with that. I can't. I cannot.
You can miss me with your, we're not racist. Miss me with that. Miss me. Okay.
You know what? I saw the debate and I watched it and I saw that part and I was like, you have got to be kidding me. So then of course I posted on my Instagram a picture of my lovely dog.
That ass.
I posted a beautiful picture of my dog and said that she was delicious because I would love to eat her and bake her inside of a pie.
I should have put my cats up.
I mean, I don't even have any words for that. It's so like, first completely of all, how do you start ignorant.
With that? How do you start with that? I mean,
it's so ignorant.
If I gave you this information, what could you do with this information? Seriously.
Lord have mercy. I don't know. Lord have mercy.
You know what? I'll be so happy. I'll be so happy when this, God willing, if she wins, and that fool is no longer in the news cycle. I am so exhausted.
I think everybody
hear
is.
His name,
including those people at those rallies.
See his face.
I cannot
see his face. I cannot hear his voice. I cannot hear all of the stupid rhetoric. I'll be so happy when this is over. Have to see them anymore for the next 4 years.
About the part in the debate where she's like, that, pause for dramatic effect, former president But you know,
you
in that
know
pause,
what she said, right?
Yeah.
You know everybody. What she meant. She wanted to say. Ooh. Yes, she did. Mm-hmm. She didn't say it. She didn't say it, but we heard it.
Everybody heard it. Everybody heard.
She didn't say it.
That pause, though, it spoke volumes. And sometimes, mm-hmm. you know what? Silence
is golden.
It is. It works. If you close your mouth
silence
for 2 seconds, people can know what you're talking about.
Full of information.
Quiet in a
assertive
way.
Manner?
Yes. There you go. And so let me tell you what happened to me the other night. I come home. I'm exhausted. It's Thursday night. I'm just trying to do my things for the next day. It's going to be Friday. I'm like, okay, thank goodness. And I got some deliveries from my little dog. And in Turkey, we don't really have any built-in closets, right? You know, this is just not something that we have. So we have to have wardrobes in our homes, or there are also beds that have built-in storage underneath them that are very popular and they're used all over Turkey. So underneath my beds, I have a lot of storage. And so I got some deliveries and I got some things for my little dog. And I was like, let me go put them in my storage in my twin bedroom, my guest bedroom underneath the twin bed. Lifted up the twin bed and guess what happened?
What?
A tonk tonk, a tonk tonk, punk, pa donk donk tonk.
It fell apart?
It fully fell apart. And I was like, what in the world? And I'm there. It's hot as blue blazes in my house because it's still, you know, real, real hot. We don't have, also another thing about Turkey, we don't have central AC. That's not something that people have in their homes. So if I want an AC, I actually have to turn it on or have a fan or whatever. It is hot. It's like 85 degrees in my house and my bed has just fallen apart. And I'm like, what am I going to do?
How did your bed fall apart?
Listen,
how did that happen?
I don't even know. So I'm like, I'm there and I'd just taken a shower and I was like, what in the world? My little dog's running around like, Mom, what happened to the bed? And so I get down, I jimmy down underneath it, and I see that it's kind of like off its hinges. The way that these things are built, they have like spring hinges that kind of allow an ease whenever you lift them up and an ease whenever you push them back down.
Hydraulics.
To close them. Yes, there you go. And there's some screws that, you know, are on the bed frame that are attached to the screws on the bed. Great. Got it. I didn't know how these things work. I've never looked down underneath a bed. I kind of thought I was a bit of a mechanic. Thursday night, I was like opening up my bed. Oh, I think the carburetor is the problem. Let me get down in here. And so, so I get my twin bed out. I've got my twin mattress. I'm like hauling it. I'm fully sweating now. I've already taken a shower. I'm fully soaked in sweat again. I've got my twin bed out. I'm like, I'm sure my neighbors thought something crazy was happening up here. I'm like, Jimmy and everything out. I've got all the blankets off the bed. I've got that bed off and it's a whole thing. I get down underneath the bed. There are two screws. Okay. One screw on these little hydraulics or two screws on this one and two screws on this one. Okay. These screws don't even have nuts in their bolts. You know what I'm talking about? Those little things that like,
how did that happen?
I don't know. Whoever put the bed together didn't put it together properly, I guess, because I didn't have any bolts on my nuts or nuts on my bolts. Or
nuts on my bolts. I ain't got no nuts.
I didn't have no nuts. So
I ain't
like,
got no nuts.
I didn't know what I was doing. So I get down in there and I'm like, you know what? And so I call my friend. I'm like, what do I do? You know, like I was thinking I'm going to have a handyman come in the middle of the night trying to fix my bed. And she's like, oh, don't worry about it. You know, we can get somebody in, but he's not there this weekend. He's gone. And I'm like, well, I can't have this bed off its hinges because this is where my dog stays, you know, most of the time in my guest bedroom. She's a puppy. It's a training thing. Anyway, so I get down in there and I find one nut in my bolt, my one bolt for my nut, and I screw it in there. Well, I have to lift the ding dong bed. I'm lifting the bed and I'm down there. I'm lifting it on my back. I've now got the bed out fully from the wall. I mean, there's stuff in the bed. It's heavy, but I'm making all kinds of noises in my guest room, like,
all for a nut.
All for a nut, but not the kind of, you don't, that's not the one I'm talking about. And so, like, I get down in there and I fix it.
Hey, euphemisms are our friends, okay?
I fixed that bed. I was so proud of myself, but right. I still need to get one nut because I only have, I found one nut in
you
my bed.
You still need a nut?
I don't know where to find it. I don't know where to find it.
So, excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, Desmond needs a nut.
Oh my gosh. I'm hot because of that conversation. Oh my gosh.
And me.
I didn't brush my hair today.
Poor that I am. You got 80s hair.
I know.
You look like Bananarama. I'm your Venus. I'm your fire. Your desire.
Feels like I brush my hair today. He doesn't know that because he can't hear me.
Burning like a silver flame. The sun in his beauty and love.
I couldn't find my brush.
And Venus was his name. Dun, 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 dun. She's got it. Yeah, baby, she's got it. I'm your Venus. I'm your fire, your desire.
I miss dancing. Can we just please dance? Can we just please get to a place where we have a studio and we can just bust a move, for goodness sake?
First of all, can we remember to put real normal water in the refrigerator besides soda water?
You don't put your water in the fridge, in the Frigidaire?
I do, but I forgot to put it in last night because I got a delivery last night and I forgot to put the water in the refrigerator.
Dang.
Because I went to kickboxing and the only thing I have is, I don't want to show the label, all I have is like this seltzer water, so if I burp, I'm sorry.
I, you know what? I got to tell you, I like to drink those things after work because I find them refreshing. And I also don't mind having a good healthy belch every now and then.
They're nice, aren't they?
It's very satisfying, actually.
It is.
It feels good.
It feels good.
It feels good.
Feels good.
So tell me about your
feels good. Sorry.
Tell me about your kickboxing. How's that going? Is it going
yes,
well?
Yes, my kickboxing class is going really, really, really well. I just had
you
a class.
You look refreshed, by the way. You
Do
look
I?
Great. You look healthy. You look like you've had some time to take care of yourself.
Thank you, but I will tell you something. I'm getting a bit nervous because our workouts are, our sessions are very, very, very intense. Like yesterday, he had me doing sit-ups. He had me doing push-ups. He had me doing burpees. He had me doing, he's like, he says, this is what you wanted. He says, you wanted to lose weight. You wanted to get shape. He says, this is what you're doing. He says, go, 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 go.
To my,
oh my God. And
talk about like, why do we call them burpees? It sounds gross.
I have no idea. It is gross, but.
Like, are you?
I think
is that
because
meant?
When you go up and then down and up and then down, it like forces the air out at some point, and I don't know.
Yeah. I never had that happen with a burpee, but I mean,
I don't
cool,
know,
man.
I'm speculating. I have no idea why
That's
they're
nasty.
Called burpees. It's like up and you're nasty. You go up and down and up and down. It could
stay
be.
Lower.
I don't know.
Everybody in the military all belching at the same time. So gross, man.
Can you imagine a whole platoon doing burpees and everybody's
No wonder they want to throw up.
Oh my god.
Everybody having mad indigestion after burpees.
Oh my god. Oh Jesus.
All right, so
when I finished my session yesterday at kickboxing, the instructor or dojo or hojam or whatever you want to call him, he comes up to me after class. He says, "I just want to let you know that you're doing really good. I'm glad that you're sticking with it. I just want to reiterate to you," in Turkish, I'll say. He says, "We all love you here. We don't want you to feel bad or anything like that." And I was like, "Oh, I know." I was like, "Thank you so much. Thank you so much." And then I got on, put my helmet on, got on my bike, and then I was like,
I'm not laughing. I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at the sweetness, because it does. I mean, when someone really is encouraging to you, and it's especially if it's something that is really hard for you to do, that's so lovely. What
and
a
he
good
keeps
teacher.
Saying, he says, "You're doing good. You're doing good." Yeah. And I know I'm not really doing that good, but he keeps telling me, he says, "Keep going, keep going." And I says, "Yeah, but I feel so weird doing this move." He says, "Don't worry. Your body will get used to it." He says, "Just keep practicing. Yeah. Always keep your guard up. Keep your hand straight when you're punching. Always keep your hand straight. And, you know, when you do your hook, make sure that your arm is straight and that you don't do it like this." He says, "Practice in the mirror. Keep jabbing, keep jabbing, keep jabbing, keep jabbing." And I'm like, "Oh, okay." But he keeps telling me that I'm doing a good job. So
that's really nice.
Good. So
yeah, it's like, no, I wasn't. I was going to say, I know exactly what's going to happen to me if there's a zombie apocalypse. I'll come directly to your house. I'll come directly to your house. Because you can fight zombies off with those left hooks and those right hooks.
Not only that, my house is stocked with water, noodles, canned goods. I'm waiting.
Are you one of those? Are you always prepared? Like after COVID, are you like, I got to be prepared for everything?
I'm what you call a lazy prepper. I'm a lazy prepper. I have lots of canned goods. I have lots of dried noodles, like those ramen noodle things. Because guess what? I'm not going hungry for nobody. I'm sorry.
I didn't realize that you did this. This is the first time we've talked about that. I didn't know that you're a prepper.
I'm not really a prepper. No, I don't like to call myself a prepper, but I'm prepared. I have a medical kit.
I think it's the same thing. Kinda. But hey, listen, if you're ready to, for anything, I'm coming to your house.
Let's put it this way. I am one machete shy of apocalypse.
Oh my God. Okay, well, now I know what you're getting for your birthday. Happy birthday to you.
I don't know why, but this all became a huge part of my life about 3 years ago. I think it's just after COVID. I was like, I am never going to be caught out again. I got myself a first aid kit. I got myself a tent. I got myself I got myself a jump bag. I got myself a ladder. It's like, if anything happens in this house, homeboy is prepared.
You talked about this to me, but I didn't know about the extent that you have done this. Okay. All right.
My anxiety has, dropped because of that.
Ladder. What kind of a ladder?
Get a ladder. It's a rope ladder.
A rope ladder. I do need a ladder.
You're on the ninth floor, right?
Seventh.
Seventh floor. Get a rope, get a ladder. Because if something ever happens in that building, God forbid something ever happens in it, you have to have a way to get out.
Yeah. Dang. I need a ladder.
Yeah.
Did you ever think that you could be like a spy? Did you ever want to be a spy when you were a kid?
I still do.
I think you could do it.
I don't know about that, but I mean, especially a black man in a European country, I kind of stick out.
But listen, you know, you're a king. Why couldn't you play also a spy?
True. I mean, but then again, you know, the life of a spy is...
being inconspicuous, I think. Lord, that came from the devil.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay. Being a spy. You better do a burpee. Oh my God.
Oh my goodness. I will edit this out.
No, leave the burp. I think it's good. I think that was quality listening experience.
Oh, God. I think being a spy doesn't always necessarily mean that you have to blend in. I think it's more like being inconspicuous.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, but a part of that is blending in, isn't it? Like a little bit. I wonder. I kind of wanted to be a spy for like a hot minute.
Because you're an actress, that's why.
Listen to this. I have a friend in college, or had a friend in college, that she worked for a top government. I'm not going to say very much. I'm not going to say her name.
Right.
But she worked in a level of government that would require you to be very careful and keep secrets. And I saw her recently, and you know, none of us really knew what she did after she left college. We didn't really know about her job. She couldn't really talk about it, you know, but now she can, because time has passed and she no longer works in that realm. And I said, what did you do as a part of your job? And she said, you're going to think it's the most boring thing ever. She said, you know how some top government officials have to have like a body double in order for them to leave a building, and then them to go for in a different area, the body double has to go on a car, whatever it is. Some right. of those body doubles have facial hair. And so I was required to put one hair by one on a beard to make facial hair for these body doubles. That was her job. And she also was part of like putting together mannequins and stuff, because I guess people like have mannequins like in cars.
She was making lace front wigs for your beard.
It was something that she did as a part of her job.
Wow.
I mean, they think about everything. They even think about the color of your
wow.
beard.
Wow. Okay, friend.
Okay, friend.
It was nice talking to you again.
Yeah, you too. I'm glad we got to catch up this week.
I'm glad we got to catch up too.
And thank you, everyone, for listening to Unlikely Friends podcast.
And if you are following on YouTube, make sure you like, share, and subscribe. And also hit the notification bell so that you know when we post up a new video.
And on those linear platforms, thank you for giving us a lovely rating, because then that sprinkles all that lovely algorithm dust.
Yeah.
Thanks again for listening.
Thank you very much. Bye, friend.
Bye, friend.